Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And we're back in the world of learning the hands we play, the card hands we play. We're all born to a hand of cards, and we're playing them out. We all are playing them out to the T. We just don't know it until we learn about the system, and then we go, oh, my God, that's me. That's my life. It's all about me. Holy smokes. And it's wonderful to learn about this. So to learn more, I'm again interviewing a master of the cards, the 52-card deck, Alexander Dunlop. Alexander, welcome to Energy Stew.
Peter, thank you so much. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, it's great. And you don't call it the deck of cards. You call it the book of life, right?
I do. In ancient times, books didn't have bindings. And this toolkit is ancient. We don't know exactly how old. But when it was first known, it would have been known as a book without a binding. And it's a little book of our life on Earth, the book of life. It's interesting, too, is that nowadays books don't have bindings anymore either. We have electronic books. So we have a Kindle book. It has no binding, but it's still a book. So that's how this knowledge was first known, and then it was hidden in plain sight as a game of chance, and people played games with it and came to know it as a deck of playing cards. It was originally a book of knowledge.
In symbol form, also.
Exactly, in symbol form.
And that's how it could remain secret. But now the secret is out.
It is.
And it's wonderful. I love this deck, and I live with it so much now, thanks to you. I actually learned it through my mother, who learned it through a card person out west. My mother was living out west, and she learned about the cards about 35 years ago.
Wow.
And got to me about it, and I didn't learn the depths of it that you know you introduced, but I certainly knew that these cards had such promise to help us understand ourselves. I appreciated it. I learned the cards of everybody in my family back then. And I presume now, hopefully after people hear the show, that they'll go find their own cards, and they can go to your website and put their birth date in and get their card.
Mm-hmm.
So how do they do that?
So the website is spiritualnutrition.org, and it is a nonprofit foundation that I set up to share and teach this knowledge. You go to spiritualnutrition.org, and on the right-hand side, there's a little widget. You put in your date of birth, and it'll tell you what your birth card is, as well as a yearly card that you're playing, and your 52-day card, your daily card. So we have cards for our whole life, and then we have cards every year. So there's a lot to look at.
By the way, I had my birthday middle of October, and my annual card now, until my next birthday, is the Ace of Spades. And one way to look at it, it's called the card of death and rebirth. And then it turned out that 4 days after my birthday, I actually had a... I don't really like to expose it so much, but I had a heart attack. And it was life-threatening, and I recovered well. I didn't have any surgery. I didn't, you know, I'm in great shape. And so my heart took care of itself, and the doctors finally let me out of the hospital saying, we don't know what to do for you. Looks like your heart knows what to do. And so here I am feeling good. And so that was death, and this is rebirth. And it's exciting to look ahead and see what the Ace of Spades is going to produce this year. The last time I had an Ace of Spades year was in my early 30s, and that was one of the best years of my life. I was all kinds of new opportunities came my way, and I was totally reborn and redirected my life beautifully. So I'm very optimistic.
Well, you've gone through the death cycle already, and now you are already on the other side of it. And so yeah, it's a whole new life. And I told you already, Peter, I'm so glad you decided to stay with us because you have so much more to teach us all.
Yeah.
So it's wonderful to be the beneficiary of all the wisdom that you still have to share.
Thank you. Well, it was life changing to go through that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm so grateful to be alive. So let's talk about, you know, how these cards nurture us in every way possible, both in ways that they teach us what our lessons are, and some they teach us our harder lessons, as well as they teach us our great strengths and opportunities.
Yeah, it's amazing. Complete system of knowledge that the more we look into it, it appears simple on the surface, and yet it reveals the very fabric of reality down to the deepest depth that we want to go. And it's showing us that
like death.
Reality. Say that again?
Like death.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
Having that ace of spades was I went about as deep as I want to go.
yeah. Yeah,
so
on the surface of it, they're just fun cards, but they're revealing to us the mathematical structure of reality, and that reality is fractally organized, meaning that the superficial layers are mirrored in the deeper layers, and the microcosm is nested in the macrocosm, and it's all geometrically aligned and expansive from the patterning.
Right,
so
we did a show recently about that universal patterning that's in everything, and the cards are one of the many windows of it, but a beautiful window of it.
Yeah. So that's been my own journey, is that I'm ever excited and amazed at what new information I learned through this deck of cards, this ancient book of life. And there's such depths we can go into just by knowing our birth card. And you and I have spoken about that. When I do a new client consultation, we might spend the entire first hour just talking about the birth card and not even exhausted then, because basically we're talking about the person's entire life as reflected through a single pattern that recurs endlessly throughout their life in everything that they do and everything they are, their emotions, their thoughts, and their actions. This patterning is playing out. So we're looking at it in all the different ways it plays out. Yeah.
Not only that, but life plays our cards for us.
Yes.
And so we don't even have to be the only ones responsible for it. We can't help it. The way everybody is reading these patterns in us unconsciously and responds to us as according to our cards.
Exactly.
They don't know it.
And I often
pervasive.
Tell people, go ahead.
It's pervasive. Everything is in divine order, you know, so everybody is responding to you according to who you are.
Yes.
And the cards
reveal it. I often tell people that, like dogs smell fear, we're all unconsciously, as you say, expressing ourselves in relationship to the energies that we're all giving off, whether unconsciously or consciously. So you walk in the room, Peter, and you give off the energy of a four of clubs and a jack of spades, and people are responding to that unconsciously.
You said it. It's been there all my life, to my pleasure and my consternation, because those aren't easy cards to live with. And
oh, yes, they are.
Well,
they can be.
They're my joy because they're my truth, and so I love being me. But not everybody does love me being me, because these cards can be confrontational to people.
Mm. Well, your jack of spades,
you
see right through people's BS. That's the great gift of the jack of spades, is that you can penetrate through the veil and see behind what people are presenting. So you see what's really going on with them, and then you may speak directly to what's really going on with them, and they're not even aware of that themselves because they're in so much denial. And
but remember,
that's confrontation. Yeah.
But remember that unconsciously they're reading that I'm doing that, and it's very intimidating.
You might be right. Yes.
So it's not so simple, you know, and being the Four of Clubs, I think has had even just as much issues in life because the Four is always trying to be on solid ground. The Four is foundational, and I'm always trying, and the Club is the mind, so I'm always trying to create foundational mind to really believe that my thinking is on solid ground, and so there's also a challenge to that. People push people want to challenge that all the time, and don't want to believe it because, you know, why should this guy know so much or have a sense that, you know, that there's answers? Wait a minute. And so so my Four has been, you know, put asunder many times by people who don't want it. They want their own Fours or their own Sixes or whatever they have that, you know, they need to hold truth to. And so I guess in life we're always dancing with other people's cards.
Yes.
And sometimes it's a tango and sometimes it's a battle. And it's interesting to see. And certainly when we know the cards of people we're in relationships with, and, you know, then we can understand the whole nature of those interactions and why we challenge each other and how we challenge each other, what tools we have, what strengths we have, and what vulnerabilities we have according to our cards.
Yeah, it's all true. And it's also that we have more awareness, and so that we can start making conscious choices to attune ourselves to what's already present so that we can harmonize ourselves with what is, and there we stop struggling as much. And so what it does entail is an element of surrendering to what is and having faith that everything is organized in a way that serves our highest and greatest good. So that,
right.
That's what comes up.
I love that. You know, that this is the truth we came here with, is our cards to play.
Mm-hmm.
And we can play them from strength and from belief in the process, trust in the process, or struggle against them, which doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense.
Yes. And so, yet we try.
Yeah. Sure do. So, you were telling me some things very recently about the different numbers, odds, evens, you know, the odd numbers versus even numbers, and, you know, how do those generalities play out?
Yeah, so we have 1 through 13 in each suit. So you have 4 divisions of 13 energies because we have 4 suits and then 13 in each. So 13 numbers. In general terms, the odd numbers are masculine and the even numbers are feminine, more receptive. And the odd numbers are more unstable and the even numbers are more stable. And if you think in terms of chemistry, the atomic structures that have an odd number of electrons in them, those are the unstable elements. They're also the radioactive ones. They're the ones that create and spark change, but they're unstable. And the atomic structures that have an even number of electrons, those are the stable elements. So the even numbers tend to be more stable, but then they can also be more fixed and unyielding, whereas the odd numbers can be more dynamic, more aggressive. There's more movement and change that happens with them. So it's really helpful just to know that, whether we're playing a 3 or a 4, all the way up to the number 9, Because then when we get to the 10, 11, 12, 13, we're actually in the royal court. And these are multiple numbers. So it's more complexity there. Like the 10 is a 1 plus a 0. And, you know, the jack is 11 is a 1 plus a 1, which is 2. And then the queen is the 12, which is 1 plus 2 is 3. And the king is 13, which is 1 plus 3 is 4. So these four in the royal court actually have a mastery of different numbers. They can interact with and play with any of those numbers that is composes their energy. So the king could play a 1 energy, he could play a 3 energy, or he could play a 4 energy. So he can play all three of those possibilities.
No wonder the royal cards have such power to them.
Right, they can adapt and play different roles. It's the way it comes to me is that the royals, the 10, 11, 12, 13, are like the superintendents that have master keys that unlock all the different doors. They have keys to unlock a variety of different energies or express different energies, or as you say, life can express itself differently through them in different energy patterns based on the different numbers and the different frequencies that the numbers represent.
But that doesn't make it necessarily easier for those people because of the sense of the responsibility it has and the challenges to it. You know, a king is very vulnerable. People want that throne for themselves, you know, and queens people are very jealous of, and jacks people are very worried about because they don't make sense. And tens are under a lot of pressure because they're so admired.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah. Those tens are the princess. People don't realize that because it's, you know, they don't know that. But the princess, people have huge expectations for, and they have to rise to a much higher level of satisfying that, or they get struck.
Right. They feel under pressure to do that, and they put a lot of pressure on themselves.
Yeah, that too. And so they're here for a big life. And so every card, you know, even the smaller cards, the twos, threes, fours, you know, all of them are have their powers and wonder and. You know, it's great to see them in play in people for their different purposes. Yeah. And the unstable ones, it's interesting. The one, 3, 5, 7, 9 they really have to dance a lot in life to find strength and stability. And yet the even numbers get challenged for it. You know, they might feel like they're fixed in a way, right?
They are, yeah.
But that fixation gets challenged. People don't like it. You know, people want more of it, and they want to challenge and see if it's real, especially if they're not stable themselves. And even otherwise, I'm a 4, and I my wife is a 2, and my older son is a 6. And they have a lot of questions about me being a 4. It's not as easy for them. So everybody listening should be, you know, at this point, maybe have gone to your website and find out, you know, what card they are and how they fit into this discussion that we're having.
Yeah, and then maybe just to round out the discussion a little bit, so you have the numbers that we've spoken about, and then the suits. The hearts represent the heart, obviously enough, emotions, relationships, love. The clubs represent mind, thinking, logic, communication. And diamonds represent what we value, what matters to us, in the physical, tangible sense of what manifests in the material world, what matters. And the spade is actually an acorn, and it symbolizes the pineal gland, or the third eye, of vision, dreams, and consciousness. So these four areas are how these numbers play out inside of these different arenas. So someone who's playing a four of clubs, Peter, as you are, would have a fixed, strong, stable mind and way of communicating and the way of thinking. So, but someone who's a four of hearts has that emotionally in the way that they are in their feelings and in their relationships. So in this way, we have like a master key, a very simple and elegant master key to understand how we're showing up in life and how life is showing up through us.
All right. Now, also, we're talking about birth cards, but we all have a hand of cards. And
yes.
It's fascinating to see, because we also have ruling cards, which really reflect mm-hmm. our personalities a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll have cards representing other planets, like mm-hmm. Mercury and Jupiter. Those are planets that I like to look at people's cards. And also Pluto and Neptune. Those give us some issues. And we have, then we have our more cards that are our gift. Our result card is like a power. I always tell people we use the result card to make up for our shadows, to kind of help us live out our shadows. I don't know if you feel that way.
Hmm. That's an interesting interpretation. I've not heard that, but that could certainly be true. I would say maybe even we try to leapfrog our shadow to get to the result or the reward. My own feeling is that the reward shows up effortlessly and naturally when we face our shadow, and this is the reward that we get for integrating our shadow.
Yeah,
but maybe
that's
we
good.
Do. Maybe we do try to compensate and avoid our shadow and just get right to the gift. That's probably true too.
Yeah, so we can use it in many ways. So it's very helpful to know what our gift card is, and mm-hmm. and empower ourselves with it, because mm-hmm. when we know what our shadows are also, and every card has its shadow, even our birth mm-hmm. cards have it's interesting that every birth card has such strength to it and its challenges, and when we know both sides of it, we can choose a higher path. And it really is, that's how important it is, I think, to know our cards, is to be able to choose yeah. that higher path.
Well, I just want to chime in and say that your gift in life, Peter, as you know, your reward card, the 10th card in your life path, is the Ace of Hearts.
Yes, and I know that, and that's why I appreciate people so much, and
yeah, thank you. And the Ace of Hearts is about initiating love in the world
yeah.
and being a master of love, an ace of love, and showing up with a heart full of love wherever you are. And that's a wonderful gift that you bring in, that heartfelt energy. So
I know. Sometimes I think I'm being smart about something, and people look at me and go, oh, you've just exhibited love. And I'm going, but did you hear what I had to say? Trying to be at four of clubs.
right. But it is interesting, as we said earlier, in how we show up for other people energetically and how other people energetically interact with us and experience us. So they're experiencing you as a gift. And that's a good litmus test, if you will, how you're really showing up for people, is that feedback that you're getting. People are saying, you're giving me love. Yeah.
Now, they also get distracted by my four of clubs and my jack of spades. And to some people, that's very unsettling and uncomfortable, that they then will be challenging. So I appreciate that we have all sides of this. So that's why there are many different people in my life who see me in different ways, and I mostly appreciate the people who see the love. And also the Four of Clubs. The Jack of Spades, I don't know about, because that's the Jack in the Box, and that can be scary.
Well, the Jack of Spades is one of the most powerful cards because it means that you're playing with consciousness itself. So you have the ability to generate new consciousness, which means you'll be generating new beliefs about what really is. And nothing is more dear to people than their beliefs, right? And this is what happens in religious wars. People go to war and kill other people rather than change their beliefs. That's how desperately people cling to their beliefs. And this Jack of Spades energy is recreating belief and recreating consciousness.
Which
and
is
people don't realize that that's even possible. They think beliefs are fixed, like dogmas. They don't realize that beliefs, too, grow new.
That's the purpose of my radio show.
Yeah.
So that's also the purpose of having you on the show so we can talk about this. And I'm sure we'll do some more radio because so much fun. And we're just, touching the surface of the this subject matter. So, it's so enriching. And I know so many people once they, and you know, because you get people coming to your workshops that I just can't get enough of it, right?
Right. And I can't get enough of it. As I said, it just continually unfolds. There's so much.
Right. And so I know every time I talk to you, I go, wow. It's so great. And so, so this has been fun, going over this. And, again, your website is spiritualnutrition.org. And you're very available to people, and I think that's wonderful. And so we're going to have to come to the end of the show because we don't get full 30 minutes because they want to throw promos in for other shows, and so I give them that opportunity. So, Alexander Dunlop, you're a great treasure. It's incredible.
Well, thanks. Thank you, Peter.
To hear and talk with you. And thank you. And this is Peter Roth, host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening.